Do you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast and online community? These creative endeavors are produced by KFUO Radio, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We need your financial support during this year's Share-a-thon, April 3 through 5, to sustain the work we do to build our community of Lutheran women. Find your place to partner with us at kfuo.org/share-a-thon. Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
I'm so excited I actually brought food to the studio for this one today. It's an Iron Yay. Ladle challenge. I totally made food this morning. Mm. I made my husband help me, but I'll tell my story later. Erin, What are we iron ladling today?
Today, we are ladling out some eggs.
Yes.
It is that time of year when you might find yourself with a lot of eggs. And as Rachel rightly pointed out when we were beginning the planning for this episode, eggs are expensive right now.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Or limited to one dozen when you're at the
right
store.
Right. I picked some up this morning and it was approximately 45 cents an egg. Woof. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. They used to be so cheap.
They did. They'll probably come back around.
Probably, yeah. That bird flew.
Yeah. Mm. But if you are still eager to be able to decorate some eggs, because it is Easter, but you probably then want to really make the most of those eggs.
Do not waste them.
Exactly. No. If you've decided that you're like, no, we're still going to decorate eggs, then here are some ways that you could use up those eggs so that they don't go to waste. I am going to be talking about a way to use some if you have hard boiled your eggs.
Mm, as am I.
Okay, I am not. Rachel as well. But I mean, not everyone hard boils their eggs when they decorate them. So yeah, Sarah is offering an option for eggs that are not already cooked. Mm-hmm. And
or if you get like the mega pack because they're cheaper, and then you have tons of extra that you're not gonna be able to eat fast enough.
Mm-hmm. You can just make stuff. Although to be fair, I don't think there really is a fast enough for eggs. Eggs keep.
That's true.
You can take your time with eggs.
They don't keep in my house.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. They
lately, we've been going through a 60-pack like every 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Honestly, I eat so many eggs. It is one of my favorite foods, and I eat them. I eat them for breakfast most days. Mm. Some days, I eat them for supper, too. And sometimes,
why not?
I mean, anyway, I love eggs from my head down to my legs. it's great. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I have to share a exciting family. Again, it's from the family, the Alter family vault of like precious recipes that have
your family is so awesome, Erin. We all have family envy.
Yep. So that's the recipe I have. It's sort of it's an old school recipe. Should I go first? We didn't really plan our order this time.
We're
usually
so excited.
We do. So you guys are getting the real experience here. It's like a live episode. It's always
okay. Well, it's an hour closer to dinner time for me, and my recipe is my dinner.
So I'm
going to talk about my recipe first, and then I'm going to mute my microphone and eat my dinner while you guys talk about your recipes.
I love it.
I like Iron Ladle challenges because I usually can find an excuse to eat on the episode without being rude.
Exactly.
All right. So my way to use up hard-boiled eggs, because in my house, we always color the hard-boiled eggs, and we do end up with so many, because I have 4 children.
Yeah.
And, all right. Now they don't all like to color eggs, but for a number of years, they did. Mm-hmm. They all like to have at least 6 to their name.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more. Like it was a lot.
That's so many.
So that's a lot of hard-boiled eggs to try and use up. But I was thinking to myself, all right, So I love my old church cookbook collection. And in fact, I need more of these. So if anyone's ever getting rid of some, think of me.
Oh boy.
But I remembered a salad I'd had at church many years ago that was brought by a dear friend. And it was a 7-layer salad.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, those are so good.
They are so good. And I'd never made one.
Okay.
Because I had just let my friend bring this to the potluck. Well, we are not potlucking together anymore.
Okay.
And so the recipe is fair game. And I was thinking, well, the 7-layer salad I have in my old church cookbook that I'm pretty sure is the same one that this friend used because it was the same church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to enjoy the garden's harvest vegetable salads, page 35.
Mm-hmm.
This cookbook is vintage. It's wonderful.
I love it.
Okay, here we go. And here it's called the layered 24-hour lettuce salad.
Mm.
I love it.
Okay.
And so the layers are 1 head chopped lettuce, presumably iceberg, because that's all that they had back then.
True, true.
1 box frozen peas, thawed.
Box celery.
Frozen peas.
Yeah. Chopped celery, chopped onion, 1 pint of mayonnaise mixed with 1 package of Hidden Valley original dressing.
I love it.
1 package grated cheese, 1 package Bacos.
Bacos!
Okay. this is the recipe as it was handed down to me. Spread chopped lettuce in a 9x13-inch pan topped with remainder of ingredients in order given. Mix mayonnaise with dressing, cover, and refrigerate 24 hours.
Ah, okay.
Now, this is actually a wonderful, wonderful, the science of this salad is pretty amazing because if you do it in exactly this order, it does keep for quite a while because you spread the mayonnaise completely over the lettuce, celery, onions, and peas and create sort of an airtight seal.
Uh-huh.
And so they stay crispy in a way that you could never keep a regular salad crispy quite so easily. And so on top, then you've got your cheese and your Bacos. Great. However, you'll notice that our key ingredient today, our hard-boiled eggs, are missing from this salad. So I thought, you know what is one of my favorite salads? Forget this. One of my favorite meals.
Mm.
I love a Cobb salad.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah.
And I thought, what if you could make a Franken salad out of the 7-layer salad, all the ingredients I really like out of that one.
Yeah.
Oh,
and a Cobb salad, which is kind of a layered salad anyway, because you just have all your toppings sort of.
The Cobb salad, just for a moment here, I believe the Cobb salad is technically, the term is a composed salad.
A composed salad.
A composed salad. That is the salad genre in which it falls.
Salad genre.
Okay. See, it's not a tossed salad.
Correct. It is a composed
salad.
This is
a composed salad.
Oh. Yes. You compose it on the plate.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes. Okay. Carry on.
So my 7-layer salad, also kind of a composed salad, although it tosses itself when you serve it onto the plate. But
yeah.
So I was thinking, what if we take this idea of a layered salad, take the same, the basic core principles, but sub in some of the ingredients from a Cobb salad. So this is what I did. I think it ended up being about 9 or 10 layers. I'll try to count them as we go. And I had wanted to include avocado, but the avocado I bought wasn't ripe yet. So,
so
next time. So I squeezed them all and tried to find the one that was closest and it still wasn't close enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. So here's my many layered Cobb salad.
Yes.
You're going to start with your head of iceberg lettuce.
Okay.
Chopped. Sort of, I preferred the sort of like sliver type, not like a taco fine, but like small enough that it's not going to create a problem when you're serving it with a spoon.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you're going to fairly finely chopped lettuce in the bottom of the pan. And then on top of that, I put chopped celery from the original 7-layer recipe, which turned out to have a great crunch later.
Yeah.
The peas, which honestly were one of my favorite parts of this original recipe.
Yes.
I love the, and I got the like little baby peas.
Of course.
So good. I didn't quite use a full like pound, 16 ounce bag of peas.
Uh-huh.
I used probably like 3/4. I just eyeballed it.
Yeah, I'm
like,
more this than is... a, one of those little boxes.
Yeah. I was like, this is probably as many peas as my family will eat. I was wrong about that, as it turns out. But
okay. Good to know.
I eyeballed a nice layer of peas. And then I took my pint of mayonnaise, I eyeballed this too.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then I took my mayonnaise, added in my Hidden Valley Ranch packet, mixed it all up, spread it. And then I added more mayonnaise to just really get all the way to the edges.
Yeah. I mean, you need plenty.
As
you pointed out, it has an important functional role.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does.
Crispness.
Yes, indeed.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So we got our dressing and then the fun started.
Okay. Oh.
Because a traditional Cobb salad has chicken, eggs, tomatoes, usually blue cheese, avocados, anything else? Those are the ones I remember.
Bacon. Did you
say? Oh, bacon. I forgot the bacon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotta have bacon. The bacon.
Uh-huh.
It's an amazing salad.
It is.
So on top of my dressing, then I was kind of like flying blind here, but I decided to go ahead and do tomatoes next. So I was like, tomatoes and mayonnaise go well together.
Yeah, definitely.
So I sliced grape tomatoes really thin. I didn't want the tomatoes to be chunky or soupy.
Yeah. Intriguing. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's thoughtful.
So they were about the size of like olives, like sliced olives.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so thin layer of tomatoes just for the flavor. Uh-huh. And then on top of that, I was going to get a rotisserie chicken, but when I went shopping this morning, all they had out was fried chicken, which in Southern Virginia is never a tragedy. So I brought home an 8-piece fried chicken, gave 7 pieces to the family and took a chicken breast, pulled the meat off and diced it up. And that was really nice.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I had one diced chicken breast over top of that. And then went my eggs.
Okay.
I only used 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this recipe could have absorbed more. So if you are really like enjoying a post-Easter surplus of eggs, then go ahead and go crazy. Like, it can absorb a lot of eggs because this isn't a 9x13 pan, remember? It's a lot of real estate.
Yeah.
So my tomatoes, chicken, eggs, and then the bacon. So I cooked up, I thought was a pound. It was 12 ounces. The store gypped me.
Oh.
And I saved up. So I used about 1/2 pound of bacon because about half of my package got eaten by my children before I could crumble it up. But still, it was a fine amount of bacon. It was enough for a generous sprinkle of bacon bits.
Okay.
And I will always prefer freshly cooked bacon to bacos.
Yeah. Yes.
No offense to my sister sister in Christ who made this recipe all those years ago. So then after the bacon, the cheese. Now
cheese.
I could have gone with a blue cheese like a traditional Cobb salad, but this is where I pivoted again and went back to the classic 7-layer salad. And I just covered that over with Colby Jack. And it was really good. I enjoyed the salad. And once I had the bacon and the eggs done, it came together really quickly.
Okay.
It was very much a hit with my husband.
Yeah.
And we had it for lunch today. We had a snow day, so everybody was home.
Snow day?
Nice. Yeah.
You had snow?
Sorry, we're recording this way early. Yeah, we got snow. Like, I know. Weird. Beautiful.
Okay.
It'll be ancient history by the time this episode drops.
When I go to edit this, I'll be like, snow, that was 2 months ago.
And anyway, for whatever reason, all my family were home and my older 2 kids both really liked this. My daughter, my daughter got a small portion and then went back for like thirds. So that was good.
Okay.
My youngest tried a bite and she decided it was okay. It was better than expected. Mm. She didn't get another bite, but she tried it. My picky middle child, she tried it too. And she said, I still don't like peas.
Okay.
I've never liked peas. So apparently there were too many peas for her.
Maybe but you could preserve the, like a pee-free area.
Pee-free zone?
Right, maybe. Yeah. A pee-free zone, that sounds wrong, but yes. I mean, just like in a pizza where I would make like half the pizza without the pepperonis on it.
Yeah.
I could do that. But the whole meal sort of inspired them to be thinking about what would I put in a 7-layer salad. If I could layer any ingredients I wanted in a salad, what would I do? And so it was a great creative experiment for everybody. And
hey,
got some good ideas and suggestions from all of them. They will all say that they would like the bacon and the eggs to remain.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are good options.
I was also really pleased with how filling it was. Like, this is a meal.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of protein in there.
Yeah. And a lot of flavor.
With the chicken.
But it's got all your veggies,
the
too.
And the bacon.
Yeah.
The top is basically all protein.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's protein on top of vegetables with mayonnaise in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of protein. Nice job.
Thanks. So that was my recipe. I'm really, really glad that you put us up to this challenge, Erin, because I think I've got not only just a new recipe for my family, but a new sort of like class of recipes that I can bring into regular rotation, especially on days when there's a lot going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds delicious.
It does sound delicious. Mm-hmm. It sounds very satisfying. I'm envious of your supper plans.
Yeah. I'm sad tonight is not salad night in my house. I have to wait 2 minutes for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. Well, we have supper. Sarah, what did you prepare?
I've got dessert.
Dessert.
So normally I come to these with new findings and new recipes, and I generally never make them because that's just how it works. But this time I got to go back to a recipe that we found several years ago, I think, because I think it was right after my whole diagnosis and like I couldn't eat anything, but we wanted to make something fancy for my birthday. I'm pretty sure this was a birthday thing. And so I love custard a lot and in like any form. And so we found an almond milk custard recipe.
Okay.
And it is so good. I don't know how many times we've made it. Maybe only twice. But I have it saved in my recipe app, which means something. That means we went back to it because I saved it. And it's from paleopantry.org.
Okay.
And I think this is a recipe that we follow it essentially.
We just follow it as written.
Except we don't do nutmeg on top. Mm. I would do cardamom, but I just really love cardamom. Okay, so this is dairy-free baked egg custard with almond milk. And on this, there's a whole explanation of like custard and how to make custard and how the science works and why you cook it in a water bath and all of this stuff. They also say that you can use other kinds of nut milks, because I know if you're allergic to nuts, this doesn't really work for allergy across the board.
But yeah.
They say that almond milk was the best out of everything that they tried.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could try it with other non-dairy milks and see what happens. I don't know the science behind how all of them would work, but this one seems to work okay.
Okay.
And I wasn't actually going to make it until this morning when I had some extra time. And so I begged my husband to make it. So we had a custard emergency at like 7:45 this morning.
Yes.
Before I went to work. And I actually brought this to the studio.
Ooh.
And I'm going to dish it out for you to also try.
I get to try this.
I'm so jealous. It's been a long time since anyone's eaten in the studio.
I know, right? Especially any food that I make. So the secret hidden ingredient in there and why it looks slightly brown is because we have special Yemeni coffee grounds.
Ooh.
And Luther, my husband, was like, we should put this in there.
Okay.
So we made it with Yemeni coffee, which is
intriguing.
Coffee and cardamom. Surprise.
Nice.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Okay.
That is delicious.
Live react. I had not had any of that yet.
That is delicious.
Oh, man, so good. Okay, so I'll give you the recipe. So the recipe calls for 600 milliliters of almond milk, a vanilla pod or half a teaspoon of vanilla extract, four egg yolks, plus two whole eggs. So this is very yolk heavy, which means you get like extra breakfast or something out of it. The blog gives you some extra recipes that are also allergy friendly that you can, or paleo, I guess they're paleo recipes that you can make with the egg yolks. One of them is a bread you can make, like an egg white
bread. Well, I mean, honestly, why would you make anything but meringue to go on top of your custard with,
there you go,
with your extra egg whites?
Yep.
That's what I would do with them.
3 to 4 tablespoons of honey. We used maple syrup this morning because it's cold outside and our honey is very, very, very thick. And we were making this as fast as we possibly could. So we didn't have time to like warm the honey up and experiment and everything. So we used maple syrup.
Yeah.
So it's slightly different taste. This says one whole nutmeg for grating. We did not do that. We garnished with coffee. So
yum.
I was going to do cardamom and Luther's like, no, use the coffee. So I did. And I also added boiled water for the water bath because we got down to the part about the water bath and I realized we didn't have boiled water. So that added some extra time.
Okay.
Well, putting that up in the ingredients.
Yeah.
So preheat your oven to 300 and I will come back to that part because this, the cook time on this is continually a problem for us. So you basically heat the milk and the vanilla slowly over a low heat until it's just barely bubbling. So you want it hot but not boiling. And while that's cooking, you whisk the eggs and the honey together.
Okay.
That's the very straightforward part. Then you, if you've made custard before, you pour the hot milk very, very slowly into the eggs and you whisk like crazy because you don't want the eggs to curdle. The first time we did this, we did it very successfully. It was beautiful. The last time we did this, I remember that the eggs curdled and it was weird. So it can go either way. It is a lot easier if you have two people. Like if you have one person that just whisks and one person that just pours.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
It's just easier to kind of keep it consistent. So that's what we did since he was helping me. He whisked and I poured.
You want the person with muscles to be the whisking one.
It's true. Yeah, he was like, my forearm's getting really tired. He was going at it. And I was trying to pour very, very slowly. It's very, very important because if you mess that up, then you have curdle. I mean, it tastes okay. It looks a little weird.
Yeah.
It also says you can push it through a fine mesh sieve to remove any lumps. So if you do, but I mean, it's just easier if you don't curdle it.
Right.
That's definitely the trickiest part, to do that evenly. And well, and then you pour the custard into the recipe is for 4 ramekins with at least 200 milliliter capacity or one large dish. The recipe makes about 800 milliliters. We halved the recipe and I don't have ramekins. I only have these really adorable, like glass bake bowl
it
things.
It is really adorable. From like 1950.
I think it is. They're like milk glass, but they're colored on the outside.
Yeah,
they're
like from a jade color.
They're from Luther's grandma. We have 4 colors. And we discovered that these work really well for making custard. That's the only thing we use them for.
Nice. It's your custard bowls.
It's our custard bowls. So we put them in there. I have no idea the capacity of these, but anyway, it works. And then finally grate the nutmeg or put whatever sprinklings you want on top. One time we made this with ginger in the, like we put ginger in it. That was really
good.
The coffee turned out really good. Yeah. I would put, if I wasn't going to do the coffee, I would definitely put cardamom on top. I just, I put cardamom in like almost everything I make.
Sure.
So good. I love it so much. Yeah. Or just nothing. I think we garnished with the turbinado sugar once just to put a little crunchy top on top of it. That was really nice too. So you've got options.
Yeah.
And then you put the ramekins in a deep roasting tray. We put it in a 9x13 pan because 2 of them fit in there. For us, that worked just fine. And then you pour in just boiled water from the kettle until it reaches halfway up the sides of the ramekins. I suppose we probably have cooked it this way before. I don't remember doing it that way. I know once we made this at my sister-in-law's house, so I don't know how closely we followed the recipe that time. But this time we did. We filled up a 9x13, and then Luther had the fun part of putting this into the bottom of our oven. And we have a double oven that was supposed to go in a cabinet, but it sits pretty close to the floor in our house. So it's very low.
Okay.
So he had a 9x13 basically full of liquid.
Uh-huh.
He had to put that on the bottom rack.
That's another thing you want those muscles for.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Check after 30 minutes for the ramekins, 1 hour for a large dish. The custard should be just set. And so when you shake it, you want it to have just a slight wobble in the center. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you put it back in for 5 minutes. This is, for us, the hardest part. I think every time we've done this, it has not taken, it's been way longer than 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we did this in our convection oven, too. So we set the temperature for 300, but that means that it's actually at 275 because it always sets it lower.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it for 30 minutes at 275/300, and it was not, it was liquidy still.
Mm-hmm.
So we bumped the temperature up to 325, so it reads at 300. And then I think he did 15 more minutes. Luther was doing this while I was getting ready for work. 15 more minutes. And then we, so then he took it out because they looked like they were done. He left one in the water bath, which is the one I have here.
Mm-hmm.
And he took one out just to see. And the one that was in the water bath was mostly done. I think both of them are actually still underdone just slightly. So it probably needed another like 5 minutes or so. But the hardest part is just telling when it's done.
Yeah.
And it's tricky. Every time we've done it, it's been tricky. I think the first time we did it, it was perfect. The last time we did it, they were not done. Mm-hmm. But we ate them anyway. It's good. This time, I think they're closer, but I think it needed a little bit more time. The fun part is that you can let them cool and eat it warm, which is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can cover it and refrigerate and serve it chilled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good cold, too. And you can like, and they say, for a refreshing breakfast, serve with tart berry fruits.
Oh.
So you can like have it for breakfast.
Yeah.
You can eat it with all kinds
breakfast
of stuff.
Breakfast custard. Yes.
Custard. Yes. So I love this because it's something fancy. I can't eat a lot of like baked goods, but I can eat custard and it's so good. And it's really, really not that. Like if you get the pouring and the whisking down and you got your timing set. Like if you do it enough that you know how long it has to cook in your own oven and you're with your own heat type, it's really not that hard. I mean, I literally made it with my husband's help before I came to work this morning. So it's very doable and it's like four ingredients.
I may need this recipe because it's really healthy too. I mean, like for a dessert.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Great.
Almond milk and eggs and vanilla.
And sugar.
And sugar.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're using honey or maple syrup, I mean, those aren't terrible for you.
Yeah. So.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice. Exactly. I love it.
Yeah. And the coffee is a fun extra flair in it today. I'm very happy that that Luther did that. Shout out to my friends at Kawa Coffee House in Dearborn for this delicious coffee.
It is. It is very delicious. I ate it. The coffee was a very, that is a fun idea to add to it and takes it in almost like that, like burned caramel sort of direction. It gives it sort of that feeling that you get with like the flan. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Custard is such an interesting, it is, there is so much chemistry in custard making. It is, because it's all about like your ratios of fat to proteins are what make custards work. And then you have to cook it. The reason the water bath is important is because when you heat eggs too high, they curdle.
Yeah.
This happens in the oven too. So if you put them in a water bath, then that water bath will not get beyond 212. Because water can't get higher than that without going to steam.
Right.
So it helps keep it cooked. It helps it cook much slower.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also why then you're like, it seems to take a long time. And so the bigger your dish, like if you were making these in little ramekins, it might cook faster. These are a bit bigger. So you'll have to make some notes like how long you left it in this time and be like, next time, try this length.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's what a ramekin is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Google them, ladies. They're cute.
Yeah.
They are really cute.
Don't
we were going to buy some, but then we realized we have these cute little things and They work really well. Mm-hmm. The other part of this is that I stopped eating eggs at some point after we made this recipe a couple of times because my body hated them for a long time.
And you're back on eggs.
I seem to be able to eat them occasionally without severe stomach pain.
Congratulations.
So I did bring my rescue meds to the studio just in case.
Just in case.
Well,
if
know.
I am doing the outro for this episode, you'll know
that the eggs did not agree with Sarah.
I mean, I've literally had them once in the last probably 2 or 3 years. So
that is wonderful because, you know, eggs are usually affordable, delicious, healthy. And they open up such a world of cuisine, like baking. Almost everything you bake requires eggs to like function, the chemistry and the physics and all of that. And it is just such a marvelous food.
Wow. Okay, so this texture, I'm actually quite amazed at the texture of this one. This might be the best texture we've ever made with this custard.
It's not very nice.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, well done.
That was probably mostly Luther, not me. I also used almond milk that had no fillers in it, so I was not sure how it was going to turn out.
Okay.
But it's like the really fancy only water almond and salt kind of almond milk that you can't really mix into anything hot because it just turns really weird. If you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. If you put that fancy almond milk in coffee, it just like it curdles weirdly.
Oh, again. Yeah.
It's heat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I wasn't sure how cooking that almond milk was going to work, but it seemed to be.
The eggs help stabilize it.
It seems to work.
It's the perfect marriage of egg and almond.
So there you go. Almond milk custard. It's delicious. And I'm so happy right now.
I'm very happy for you.
Yes. I'm just going to keep eating it now.
Yes. So I wanted to do this episode specifically because I wanted to be able to share this recipe because it is an unusual recipe. It is not one that I have ever come across at a restaurant or anyone else's house. So this recipe is the recipe that my mom knew she needed to learn how to make because it's the recipe that my dad's mom, my grandmother, would make. And it was like, so the dish that he loved as a child. And so she was like, I gotta learn how to make this one. Mm-hmm. The recipe is called Egg a la Goldenrod. Now, we say it Egg a la Goldenrod. However, I think it's really Egg a la Goldenrod. Mm. But honestly, we all just guess that. We just call it Egg a la Goldenrod. It's like one long word.
No, I think you're right, because here it is at BettyCrocker.com. Eggs a la Goldenrod.
Okay. So this was not, though, from a Betty Crocker cookbook.
Oh, I'm sure not.
From my grandmother on my dad's side, not Grammy, Grandma. So we do not have many recipes that were passed to our family from my grandma, but Egg a la Goldenrod is one of them. This back in the day was, I'm pretty sure this was a thrifty recipe. It was a recipe that allowed you to feed a hungry family for not very much. Now, because it has eggs in it, nowadays it's like a little bit of a luxurious recipe. But back in the day,
when you had chickens and eggs were cheap.
Exactly. eggs were cheap in it. There's no meat in it. And so it is basically a white gravy with eggs. But it's special. The presentation is what makes it special. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna walk you through this recipe again. You're going to make a roux. We always start here. You're going to start out.
When we're cooking with you, we always start here. That is correct.
Start by making a roux. Yes. Okay.
Can we get that on a t-shirt, Sarah?
Yes. That's the next sticker.
Always start with a roux. Yes. It's a classic way. Okay, so you start, you got your butter, flour, salt, and pepper. You're going to cook this until it's over low heat. And here's the key with pretty much any time you're making a roux, and it's don't stop stirring. Okay, keep stirring. Just keep stirring. You're going to stir constantly and then keep stirring. So you are going to gradually mix in some milk. Milk is the liquid of this particular sauce. So you gradually stir in the milk until it's all incorporated. And then this is what makes, and it's fast because that's all it is. So you've got your eggs, you've peeled your eggs, they're hard boiled. You've peeled your eggs. Here's the tricky, the special thing, the special technique. Okay. So you're going to remove the yolks whole. Okay. Just break open the egg, and then you're going to chop up the egg white into sort of small bite-sized pieces and mix that into your sauce. But the egg yolks, you are going to use a fine grater that you have. We used to use a sieve, and then we discovered that a grater, like that you would use for like ginger or garlic or nutmeg or lemon zest, like a fine grater is what you want. Use that on your egg yolks. You're going to grate all of your egg yolks into a little bowl. This is your goldenrod, okay? The goldenrod. So now you just serve basically biscuits and gravy, okay? And then you top it with goldenrod and some paprika.
Oh.
It is simple, but it looks very pretty because of the, especially if you can get really, like sometimes you can find like really pretty egg yolks, like those really, really orange egg yolks. Those look really nice, but it's pretty regardless. So you've got the fluffy egg yolk on top of it. Each person prepares this on their own plate. So don't try and just put this over the whole dish of the sauce. No, each person does this individually. So you sprinkle on your goldenrod, and then you sprinkle on a little bit of paprika, and it looks beautiful. I have shared a picture of, we had this for our Christmas Eve brunch this last Christmas, and so I have a picture that I shared. You'll see this picture, but it is simple. It is quick to prepare. You can use whatever biscuit. You can make biscuits. You can use frozen biscuits. Whatever your preferred biscuit is. I don't have a recommendation there.
I'm wondering. Now I love gravy biscuits. Amazing. But could I sort of like hybridize this with Eggs Benedict and do like an English muffin, maybe a little Canadian bacon, put your goldenrod over top? Hybridized,
my mind went a totally different direction. I was about to say yes, but absolutely. What you have described, I feel like I'm sure you could hybridize it that direction. My sister.
Eggs Benedict a la goldenrod. There we go.
Her family prefers to add I think her husband grew up with the sausage gravy. So they like an egg and sausage gravy. So she usually adds breakfast sausage to this.
Oh, that would also be tasty. We love sausage gravy.
It's like a little bit beyond. And honestly, we never make it that way at my house with my mom and dad. Even though you'd think my dad loves sausage. But he's a purist when it comes to egg a la goldenrod. But absolutely, I'm sure that you could take it with the direction of egg a la Benedict. I don't know that we'd have to work on the name. Benedict
a la goldenrod.
Benedict. Yeah, that's a fancy name.
I just feel like this would go really well on an English muffin.
Right. I mean, I think you're right. It would. So it's simple, it's easy, and it's, aside from the eggs, quite cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So if you
and maybe someday again will be quite cheap.
It's now Easter, and you're like, I've got all of these hard-boiled eggs that I don't usually have. you could easily, it scales well as well. Also, like you can scale this up.
I am absolutely going to be making this. I feel like my family loves sausage gravy. They love hard-boiled eggs.
Exactly.
At Thanksgiving, we always have the giblet gravy with the hard-boiled eggs. So I know the concept is for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you. My life is going to be much better because of having Agula Goldenrod in my repertoire.
Mm-hmm. Bringing it around the world. Agula Goldenrod. Mm. And I am glad to hear that Betty Crocker, somehow it's getting out there. But so maybe I want to preserve this dish. It shouldn't die out with the passing of the generations.
It says right here in the description, a versatile recipe from Betty Crocker's 1956 picture cookbook.
Really? Intriguing.
Yeah. So it's been there. I think it probably almost died. And who knows? Maybe your grandma discovered this in a cookbook and made it her own, because it's Betty Crocker serves it over toast, not biscuits.
Yeah. I will say that the white sauce base that my mom uses did come from the 1970 cookbook, because she quickly figured out when my grandmother was teaching her that the white sauce is white sauce. Like it's not there wasn't anything, the specialness of this was all in the presentation. And so if you're making a good white sauce, that's your starting point. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is all presentation. So it didn't make it in as Agula Goldenrod in 1970, but I'm glad to hear that it is out there. Someone could Google this. They could hear us and not realize. They could look at the show notes and they would have it right there, but they could still Google for it and find an option.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm. I love these episodes.
This has been an excellent episode.
Yeah. We also have to mention that Erin accidentally on purpose wore her egg brooch today.
It's true. Truly, it was. I mean, I did intentionally wear it, but without any connection in my brain when I selected it this morning and came to work with the fact that we were going to be recording the egg episode. So
I love it so much.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, we have presented you with some excellent recipes
from our experts.
Our experts.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's like the ham episode all over again.
Yes.
Egg emergency just doesn't work though.
Works pretty well, actually.
Egg emergency. Oh, but I guess
it's already
been
done. We can't. Then it's just copying.
And this is not really an egg emergency, because
that's true.
Let's be honest. There are so many, like between the deviled eggs, which we've already covered, salad, and just simply eating, like my kids will just peel them and eat them. Like,
They're
so good. Eat your eggs.
Yeah. Oh, egg salad. It's good stuff. Yeah. Ladies, if you have a favorite recipe to use up your eggs, boiled or not boiled, we'd love to know, because as we've said, there's a million of them. So we'd love to know what you do with your extra eggs. Share your recipes with us in the comments for this episode in the Lutheran Ladies Lounge Facebook group or on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. We would love to know your recipes. And we'll share recipe links and pictures with the show notes and on our Instagram page. And Facebook, if I remember. I'm so bad at sharing pictures on Facebook, but they will go on Instagram. You can find all of that there. You can find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.